The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
W229HE Atlanta. The most listened to sports station in the South. WCNN North Atlanta, a Dickey broadcasting station. The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Post-draft Monday on The Fan. You got Chuck and Chernoff in your ear until 6 o'clock and then. Oh, what do we have at 6 tonight?
We have some
rewind.
A little 680 rewind tonight. How about that? Then we'll turn things over to the Braves programming, leading you all up to the Ford leadoff show and then first pitch. 9:40, a little late night fun with the Braves and the Mariners. The 4 o'clock hour of our show is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. Chuck has got a college football today. This is a segment all chocked full of college football information. He's got one coming up around the corner. What can we look forward to?
We can now put a specific name on a portal downside that had been bubbling under.
A long tease.
It was. A lot of words there, but kind of delivered the full message.
So then after that, apparently Cullen Madden, producer of the show, says he has a tease that he wants to get to. He said it was something small, not important, but he wants to bring it up.
That was his tease?
That was his tease, he told me. Is that going to hold the audience? Something small.
Not important.
Not important, but he has to bring it up.
But I'd like some airtime for this, please.
Okay. All right, we'll get to all. So we have a CFT. Is the CFT small and unimportant? No, it's the thing after that. All right, we'll get to that coming up. Before we do any of it, though, Chuck has a question for Terry Fontenot that won't make anything better.
Yeah, Matt, I need to know when having a succession plan at quarterback became so vital for the Atlanta GM. There are only two scenarios here. It's either total bull spit slash spin, or he was unprepared when he took the job. Either this whole line about the value of a succession plan at QB beyond measure is actually just a company line following the reaction from Thursday night, or it's something new that this front office has realized, because 3 years ago you had a 36-year-old starter and your succession plan that you value so much was Felipe Franks and Josh Rosen. You didn't nod towards a replacement or succession at all. So is the team's declaration that QB succession plan is so vital, it validates Thursday night? Is that a new attitude that the front office didn't understand 3 years ago? Which, if it's so basic and so easily understood, why didn't you understand it 3 years back? Or is it a bad pick and the narrative is actually, you know, just the narrative, nothing real?
There's a lot there. So here's a couple of things. Number one, they didn't get to put a succession plan in place 3 years ago because they did the Deshaun dance. So when they did the Deshaun dance and...
I'm going in their first season, I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but they didn't think Matt was leaving anytime soon. So I think their plan was going to be to draft the quarterback when they did.
So which, Matt was just the plan.
Well, for the short term, and that may be 2 or 3 years. Remember, I've said this over and over, they were about to redo his deal. They didn't think 2020 was going to be his last year here, 2021, whatever it was. So at that point, I think they were going to draft a quarterback somewhere in the mid rounds, right? And at that point, you're going to stash him, and you're just going to, if that's Ritter or somebody else, you're just not going to play for a couple of years. We don't need you. But then the Deshaun dance ruined all that. Because I don't think the Falcons in their mind thought, well, if we don't get Deshaun, Matt will be pissed. Matt's never pissed. Well, Matt was pissed. And then he forced his way out and he wanted to be traded. So at that point, now you're doing the Mariota thing. And then you're doing the Ritter thing. And then you're doing the Heinicke thing. So they didn't have a plan in place there.
No, none.
But this franchise has sort of changed course in a lot of times.
Over the last 6 weeks.
Which, that's not always bad. Like, I want to believe you have a core belief of your plan. I like that you can pivot and do some things. But here's my opinion. When they signed Kirk, they had no intention of taking a quarterback in the first round. None. When they went to Seattle, they fell in love with Penix. Fell in love. I mean, lust, love, couldn't live without him. We want to get a room together. We're not going to leave each other. And at that point, they're like, Raheem's on the plane with Terry going, Penix, Penix, Penix. And Terry's going, defense, defense, defense. Raheem's like, Kirk's only going to be here 2 years. And then all of a sudden, it builds, it bubbles, after, and then you take Penix.
They had given probably a year too long and maybe $70 to $100 million more than they had to.
Maybe. That's a maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. It's not an outlandish maybe. There has been, when you say it's not a bad thing, I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't mind
that's
you
when
changing
you realize,
course.
All right, this isn't working, you know, whatever, that's fine. Or situations change. I don't know that the external situations change as much as they seem to change the quarterback plan or lack of in Flowery Branch. It's been spin the wheel. Mm-hmm. Where did it land this season?
I'll add one more thing. I think the 2 years of being quarterback nomadic scared the bleep out of them. Like, we didn't live that life in Atlanta.
So this is a new attitude for them.
It is. And what they did is, when they landed Mariota, because that was all that was left, they thought in their mind, all right, this will be short term. We'll have our plan B. And that became the drafting of Ritter, which I don't know if Desmond would have worked here if he would have sat for a full calendar year, 2 years. I don't know if Desmond would have worked if Ryan was tutoring him and Ryan was still here. I don't know if Desmond would have worked if he was coached better. All those things we'll never know. What we do know is they put Desmond in, and Desmond turned the football over a ton, and now they were yo-yoing quarterbacks, and I think that scared Terry. I think it scared Arthur. And I think Raheem came in here and looked at it from afar and said, this is my second shot, might be my only shot. I'm not about to go down without a legit veteran now and a plan B waiting in the wings that is not a third-round pick. Now, it doesn't make it right. I'm just trying to put myself in the way they're thinking, and I think that's what it came down to.
I don't imagine. I don't even know what the word is. Arthur Smith knows offensive football, but it was a detriment. Like, his either the positions that he would put Desmond in and some of the things he'd ask him to do because it was too much, or just his reactions on the sidelines. Like, he wasn't helping, man. And so this year, I don't think that the guy calling the plays will hurt.
I hope not.
Last year, he hurt.
Yeah, I don't know. Here's what I do know. It still doesn't add up no matter what. You can like Penix. I like Penix. I don't know how good he'll be. We'll wait and see. You can like Kirk. I like Kirk. Till the end of time, it'll never add up. Those two, you're spending that kind of allocation of your roster, your cap, your draft pick on the same position, even with the succession. And I like a succession plan. I talked about that when they signed Kirk. You had to have something in store. But you and I talked about this before the draft. It was like Spence Rattler, middle rounds, developmental guy. Try to, you know.
See that after Bo Nix went 12th, there wasn't another QB till Rattler in the fifth.
Which we kind of, I didn't know he was going to go that late, right? So, and I think that also scared the Falcons that they knew we're at 8. Now, I'm going to play some audio. Maybe we'll get it tomorrow. But Adam Schefter says the Jets were trying to move up. He brought up another team trying to move up. He said the Falcons could have moved down. At that point, I'm really upset that you could have moved to 10 and had no worries. The Bears at 9 were not taking Michael Penix. And the Jets at 8 aren't taking Michael Penix if they're trying to move up at that point. They, according to Schefter, anyway, they're moving up for something else.
Okay.
So you could have picked up something.
Isn't there an idea, though, that Penix was probably a top 15 pick?
In this draft, because he's a quarterback, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So this was not, they could have, we have no idea, folks. We really never know.
It's a lot of
However,
guessing.
This is a popular thing in closing arguments in court, man. Mm. All of these people, Adam Schefter, not you go down 100, all of these people have to be wrong for this one person to be right. and it's Terry Fontenot. Like, everybody, even the guy who didn't give an opinion and just summarized everybody else's opinion, said these 100 draft boards all have to be wrong for the Falcons to be right.
I think the Penix stuff is pretty interesting on the player, because, you know, nobody's talked about the player very much.
No, it's just the combination.
Yes.
It's the transaction, not the player.
If Penix balls out in 3 years, it'll be received in a very different way. But I think the Falcons have to be hating it. Nave and I told you I watched the Raheem and the Terry presser, all three of them, all weekend. And the Saturday presser, they even alluded to. They're really trying to explain. We know what's being said. One of them brought up Mike Lombardi's name, because Lombardi was killing them all weekend. He was on our show. He was doing his podcast. He was killing them. And they tried to reference as much of this stuff as possible. They are getting skewered in a way that typically, if you take a quarterback in the top 10, you don't get skewered. But because of the process, not that it's universally agreed with upon the board, across the board, but they're, for the most part, I would bet 90 to 95% of the reaction to this move is, the hell are you doing? Like, we all think Penix might be something, but you just spent 100 on Kirk, and now you're not going to play the guy for 3 years. So they have to hate that in Flowery Branch. Hate it.
You're right about if he balls out in third season from now.
Or if
the hell do you tell your fans?
If Kirk gets hurt in week six and they go, all right, Penix time. I mean, then you're going to have a decision next year if Penix plays well to start the cheap young guy or the guy making all the money.
They created all this. They just had literally any other position they could have taken, and this wouldn't be the outcome.
And I agree with you. Their fear of being quarterbackless again was not going to be.
Because we won't be drafting this high again.
Or they might not have a pick next year in the first round. A reminder, Braves fans from all over the state of Georgia can now take part in the Atlanta Braves Foundation 50-50 raffle, which is awesome. Jackpots are always open during Braves home games, but now they're available to you guys during road series, like tonight. But you have to be in the state of Georgia or at Truist Park to be a part of it. Raffles will conclude with one lucky winner taking home 50% of the total jackpot, and the remaining 50% goes to the Atlanta Braves Foundation. So again, enter in person like you always have at Truist or online. Just know when you enter online, you have to be physically located in the state of Georgia at time of entry. Complete rules and details, and to purchase your 50-50 raffle tickets available online, go to braves.com/50-50 or visit the MLB Ballpark app while in Georgia.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today.
Got the beta king.
Presented by Roof It Forward. When your roof needs to be repaired or replaced, call the roofing company that supports Camp Sunshine. Together, we can roof it forward.
Don't let the outside weather become the inside weather. Roof it forward. I said we can now put a specific name on a portal downside that it had been bubbling under, and I had talked about this because I had seen it play out with people I knew. And this was both scholarship athletes and then just, you know, regular students like me. I will say that I personally know former scholarship athletes. I've talked about this principle before, who, for lack of a better way to put this, kind of hung around playing football or basketball or baseball, something on scholarship, and they love sports. And then after X number of years, they look up and go, oh, I got a diploma. And it was someone who family background, economics, whatever reason, would have never stepped foot on a campus in the world, especially something like Florida where you can get like a great education, Michigan, you can get a great education, Wake Forest, places like that. I personally know former college players who I will say stumbled into a college degree and it changed their family tree. Transferring screws that up in a more regular person sort of existence. Think about trading in a car. All right, you wind up getting behind on the equity. When you transfer, you lose credits. It certainly is not a case where it's not just a class. They may not have a major that you have 14 credits in. I'm going to give you a name here now because I've talked about this with all the kids. The more you transfer, the more you lose. Penny Boone was a kid who played 2 years at Maryland, didn't like that, transferred to the MAC, won Player of the Year at Toledo. Transfers into Louisville in January after one semester, announced that he was jumping into the portal, and the thought was he was going to Kentucky, and Kentucky's like, hell yeah, give us some Penny Boone. He didn't dig going across state. We'll poke them in the eye and get their running back. Like, I don't know why he didn't dig Louisville for 3 months. He was there one semester. So we don't even know about what the academics were for his 1 month or his one semester there. But coming out of spring, he was told, you're not the starter now. Who knows? Coaches say all kinds of stuff to get kids to come back in August, but all he was told was right now you're not the starter. They didn't tell him you're second string, third string, off the team, returning punts. They didn't say all. They just said right now you're not the starter. I'm Portland, and then stuff starts coming in. He's going to Kentucky. Well, maybe he's not, because in the transfer from Maryland to Toledo, from Toledo to Louisville, and now Louisville to Kentucky, it turns out admissions at UK has said he doesn't have enough credits now to maintain progress towards graduation. So we actually can't take him in school as a student, much less as an athlete. And even with the lowered standards, it literally is he's been in college too long to now not have this number of credits. Again, there are a lot of times you get a scholarship athlete, and my school had it. It was early childhood education. Every school has it. I don't know. Georgia Tech, y'all need to come up with some more. But every school has those. And unfortunately, the just generic, it all transfers, and it's all this homogenous blend of 3 credits and 5 credits. That's not true once you get out of about your sophomore year. You have to start funneling down towards something, and then you take something that you think is easy or you kind of like, and then the new school doesn't even offer the major. So Penny Boone right now is looking for a new school, and it ain't going to be Kentucky.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, presented by Roof It Forward on the College Football Voice of the South, The Fan.
All right, after the long-awaited tease that Colin Madden, our producer, has something little, something unimportant, but he wants to bring it up. That tease, I can't wait for the payoff.
So do you guys remember the drop that I first tried to work into the show when Chris Sale was first on the team?
The annoying Sale.
Sale!
That one.
So I was at the game on Friday, and you know who was pitching?
That would be Chris Sale.
Yeah, and you know what drop they played every time that he got a strikeout?
Which was? Sale! All right, you want validation? Are you happy?
Something.
It was just a little too much it was happening here. Maybe it gets mixed in once a show, twice maybe. So you felt good?
I mean, did they copy me?
There's a chance they heard it. I mean, we are the flagship. It's okay.
Or maybe they're just giving the people what they want.
Maybe the people have asked for that Sale.
Hey, play that thing Colin plays on 680.
Bingo.
Would have been nice if they mentioned you, though.
Correct.
To give you your props.
Okay. Exactly.
Colin, we're very proud.
I
got
to listen to Chuck and Chernoff more often. Those drops that Colin plays, wow.
You hear his snarky tone. He just, I mean, twisting the knife on you, Colin. That's
no,
the way
I'm trying to, like, sound out this conversation that the listener is having, so I understand.
Coming up, there is a chance the team who lost Kirk Cousins to the Falcons actually had a better offseason than the Falcons. Is that possible? We'll talk about it next.
The four.
Sal.
Is it Aurora Roro? Or Roro Roro? I'm going to get this name before it's done. Or we're just going to have to go with Ruco, and that's not going to be good enough. His parents are not going to be happy. Chuck and Chernoff are on the fan. As we celebrate post-draft, every time you turn on ESPN, every time you turn on the NFL Network, any of the daytime screaming match shows, it's all Falcons and Michael Penix. The offseason has been what happened with Belichick and the Falcons, and now it's what happened with the Falcons and taking another quarterback. This is the offseason. They wanted to be relevant. Well, here you go. Chuck and Chernoff until 6 o'clock. Then we turn things over to 680 Rewind, which is a look back at the biggest portions of your 680 The Fan broadcast.
Sucks.
I'm in the middle of a promo. 680 The Fan broadcasting day, which you maybe have missed some of the locker room, 6 to 10.
David After Dark.
You'll relive that. The Buck Ballou Show, 10 to 11. Cellini, or is it Domino and Cellini? 11 to 2, you'll hear all those big moments coming up 6 to 7. And then you'll get Braves baseball tonight. App tapping is the order of the day. You're going to be laying in bed. You'll have the earbud. You'll be falling asleep. And you'll let Ben and Joe keep you awake tonight for game one of the Braves and the Mariners. The 4 o'clock hour of our show is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows. They're Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. Let's get our top story. Chuck, pea-stained denim jeans are now on the market. Thanks to London-based British-Italian designers Jordan Bowen and Luca Marchato. These designer jeans have a dark stain in the groin area, appearing as if you had peed in them. They cost $811. By the way, if you're looking for a cheaper option, there is a lighter wash available for $608. That's our top story.
There's no way that's a top story. Why am I wanting this?
You want to keep up with the fashion trends. You want to have a good fit.
That's a put on.
I think that's a put on.
That's
available.
You know what? I bet we'll do this and people will still buy it.
Probably. But the biggest issue is the price of the jeans. Like, I have enough problems. You know, you spend $40 or $50 on a pair of jeans, $611. I mean, why are those jeans? I mean, what do they do for me? I got a pee stain on them. The pee stain just disappear for $611, but those are available for your enjoyment. All right, coming up in 5 minutes, it's a month into the season, and some math doesn't add up for the best team in baseball. King MLB.
That's me.
King MLB. He'll explain coming up.
Say my name.
But first, I never thought I'd live in a moment where I would actually be debating, is there a chance the Vikings have had a better offseason than the Falcons? That can't be a thing that's true because we took their quarterback, and their quarterback is good. Not great, but good. And once you lose your quarterback, it's supposed to be, oh, God, it's all over for us. Let's tear down the walls and start over again.
We're out of the club, and it's going to take 4 or 5, or I don't know, the Dolphins. It took them like 20 years to get back in the club.
So let's compare the offseasons for a second. Because we all stand in agreement that the quarterback is the most important position in sports, and we took theirs. So after the Falcons signed Kirko Chains for the $100 million guaranteed for what turns out to be about 2 years, it's also worth pointing out it's 3 years of guaranteed money that could leave the Falcons with $25 million of dead money in 2026 if Kirko Chains is done. Now, they could split it up into a post-June 1 that it's 12.5 1 year, 12.5 the next, so it's not awful. Now, the Falcons then signed Darnell Mooney. Nice piece. Chicago Bear, wide receiver, ours. They traded for Rondell Moore, a little quick, scat, kind of fun wide receiver you can do some things with. That made sense. And that's where it stopped. The Falcons have done zero on defensive note. I'm sorry if I can't get excited for the third time that Eddie Goldman told me he's going to play, right? I'm sorry I can't get excited for Kevin King, who hasn't played in the league in 3 years, a corner, and I can't get excited for Antonio Hamilton. That's what the Falcons have done on defense. Now, in the draft, I'll do nothing but hope, because to expect second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounders to have an instant impact is, that's, it's not realistic. It'd be nice. It's not realistic. Okay. Let's go to the Vikings. They signed their bridge quarterback in Sam Darnold for a year and $10 million. You know what I think of Sam Darnold? As always, Sam Darnold's eh. But they then signed two edge rushers, Jonathan Greenyard, coming off a big year for Houston. Andrew Van Ginkel, a pretty underrated player for the Dolphins. They signed a starting linebacker who had a breakout a year ago, Blake Cashman from the Texans. They brought in Aaron Jones, who I've always liked, as part of their running back group.
Yeah, the Packers had a weird offseason for running backs. But
then they drafted their quarterback in round one in J.J. McCarthy at number 10. And they took the guy that was mocked to us over and over and over again at number 17 in Dallas Turner. So I just gave you three edge rushers they added, a starting linebacker, a bridge cheap quarterback. They hope their future at quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, and now their salary cap is going to be clean after the dead money they're paying this year. So I'll ask you, who had a better offseason? This should be easy.
Somehow, 2 hours into free agency, like, you know those live updates in betting? It would have been off the board. Like, the Falcons, 2 hours into free agency, the Falcons losing, quote, losing, being behind the offseason of the Vikings would have been impossible because, as you said, you took their quarterback and they had no plan. Mm-hmm. When they signed Sam Darnold for $10 million, I thought they actually lost a little more ground. Now, he could start and maybe he would be okay, but you signed him for 1 year for $10 million for a reason. I think it was 1-10, wasn't it?
That is the number.
Okay. And so I said, you even got a little further behind the Falcons now because you actually are going to play this guy. Somehow over the next 5 weeks, they lost their best pass rusher too.
They did.
They added three pass rushers, and they actually got sort of a real traditional understandable plan at quarterback. And they did it for at least a bare minimum of $90 million different, which could be three elite level players if you could convince them to come here. But it could be as much as $125 million less.
Here's what though, so everybody's like, well, the Falcon quarterback room is one of the best in football.
Ugh.
Okay, fine. And that's good for me. If Penix can play. Taylor Heinicke stinks. Let's not forget that, but whatever. But it's the only position where you can only play one of them. Like, I keep hearing this, like, narrative that I want this deep quarterback room. Agreed, but not at this price. I mean, the price is the Kirk money, the draft pick with Penix, the nearly $5 million you're paying Heinicke. It's just, it's a lot to be dedicated to one position that you hope one guy plays the whole time. This is not like, and Chuck, I brought this up Friday. If I gave you any other position and told you the player the Falcons took at 8 will not play for 2 years, either due to injury or we think he's immature, you took a linebacker, a corner, a wide receiver, and said, he's just not going to play for 2 years. We would turn things upside down in anger, but with the quarterback, you're like, it's okay, park him for 2 years.
You know what kind of silly situation that is? That's a hockey team drafting a guy who has to serve in the Swedish Army for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Like, that's absurd stuff that you go, well, thank goodness we don't have that in America.
Or the guy goes,
what are
on
you
the,
doing Flowery Branch, though?
The guy went on a Mormon mission, and he's not back for 24 months. That's what it is. It's very weird. I hope to all that is good with the football world that somehow the Vikings don't have a better year than us. I don't even want to live in that, whatever that universe would look like.
You don't want that new.
No, we don't. I want nothing to do with it. Sam Darnold should not be able to do anything of note. But then again, Sam's walking into the best situation of his life. He gets Justin Jefferson, and he gets Jordan Addison, and he gets TJ Hockenson, and he gets whatever's left of Aaron Jones in that run game. It's the best situation. And he gets a really good OC.
And we got a lead, and we need a stop. And maybe he gets the stop.
Yeah, maybe. All right, coming up in 5 minutes, the Falcons might have made a really good football decision. But it can also be a bad business decision. Both things can be true. We'll talk about it coming up. But first, we're a month into the season. Braves have a 19-7 record. It's the best record in baseball, but something's not adding up for King MLB.
That's who I am.
Chuck watched the White Sox this weekend.
Yeah, month into the season, and the math, it doesn't add up. Minus Sean Murphy, minus Matt Olson, minus Riley, minus Acuna, minus Strider. To some degree, less than you were expecting or nothing from all of those guys. And when you get less than you're expecting from Acuna, mm-hmm. it's a lot of less. When that list of players is either not producing or just out, not playing at all, your season doesn't roll along and you take two or three from the team with the second best record in baseball and continue yourself to have the best record in the bigs. Obviously, there are guys on the other end picking up everybody. Ozuna from the Braves, Lil D, Chris Sale and his attitude, Chadwick Trump, bitches, and his weekend as well.
Chuck said pitches.
There are so many guys that are succeeding, and there are superstars who haven't started pitching in yet. There's no way that this is supposed to work out. And for any other team missing, I'll say even, like, you have two guys, like Strider and Murphy out, and Murphy's about the seventh best hitter on the team, maybe eighth. He's a superstar as a catcher. You take those two guys off any roster and then have subpar from Acuna, and Albies was out for a week and a half, and Olson's not doing anything, and Riley is leaving runners on base everywhere. All of that, you're not the best record in baseball, and the Braves are. It shows how deep and talented and veteran and everything this team is, man.
So I'm looking at the numbers between Acuna, Riley, and Olson so far this season. Those three, which I think we might agree, those are your three best hitters.
You got a month into the season.
Or three most productive hitters, if you want to do it that way. They've combined to hit for a .233 average, six home runs, a .710 OPS, a .102 WRC plus, which is just barely above average, and a .1.4 WAR. And you're 19-7?
When Ronald Acuna is playing average, like 100 is average, 102. Good season, 140.
That's the three
Ronald
of them.
Ronald Acuna, 180.
By the way, that's the three of them combined.
Yes, and so Olson, just by the way, Olson is actually probably bringing it down. It's just been such a very difficult start for the heart of your order, the start of your order, the back of your order, guys who are missing, the mound, all of this stuff. And what's the response? Best record in the game. And they played good opponents, by the way, too. Part of the reason Houston continues to stink, well, they played the Braves. Part of the reason Cleveland had the best record on Thursday and now they don't, they played the Braves.
What did I tell you the other day?
The Mets might have actually been kind of good when they played the Braves.
The Heat culture thing that you've heard about for years is real. The Braves culture thing is real.
Yep.
Why does Luis Guillorme come here and just have a couple of moments? David Fletcher, you have a moment.
Trump.
Chadwick Trump has had some good moments. Why is Ronaldo Lopez looking like the best starter in baseball? Why is Chris Sale? Red Sox fans are like, the hell are you doing, Chris?
Pierce Johnson, like, there are Rockies fans who didn't know who he was when they saw the, hey, we traded Pierce Johnson. Who's he?
It just works. I was looking at the Braves' fifth yesterday, and this is what has to make everybody laugh. Well, we laugh. They don't like it. Braves are down 2-0 in the fifth inning yesterday. After a Michael Harris flyout, the Braves' 8-9 hitters were coming up. Jared Kelnick doubled.
Yep.
Chadwick Trump singled, and now you're back with 2-1. I guess you turn over the lineup to Acuna, who does what? Strikes out. And then you get Riley with two guys on to strike out. But they're down 2-1 because Kelnick and Trump did a thing back-to-back in the fifth inning, and then you came back down 3-1 later on in the midst of it, and you got an Acuna single. He takes third on a bad throw. You get an Ozzie double. You get an Olsen single, which that thing might have been 35 miles off the bat that looped over the second baseman's head. You got to face that lineup four times. Somebody's going to get you.
And Stephen Kwan at third base was bad. And then Jose Ramirez tried to steal second without sliding.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
I don't know that I've ever seen that in a major league game.
Got tagged on the pocket.
Like it was first base.
Arcia's face on that play. If you guys didn't see this.
It was weird.
Was that extra innings?
Yeah, it was a 10th.
Arcia slap tags the back of Jose Ramirez's leg. And Jose puts his hands on his head. He's like, oh, I didn't slide. Got him out. All right, I want to give the Falcons at least some optimism, some hope that the Michael Penix draft pick might be really good. I hope. Hope. I don't know, but I hope. The business side of it, there has to be a meeting or two in Flowery Branch behind the scenes, right? The public stance is the public stance, and that's fine. But when you're running a business, and I don't care what your business is, everybody has a payroll. In the NFL, it's just the salary cap, but everybody's got a payroll. And I'll equate it to the Braves. We've had Alex Anthopoulos on the show over and over say, I never again want to do stars and scrubs rosters. He said, I did that with Toronto. It does not work. To Chuck's point a moment ago, you lose a player or two who's a star, you don't have any depth to try to sustain. For the Falcons, they are going to be spending over the next 2 years the $100 million on Kirk Cousins, the $5 million a year on a player who won't play, theoretically, in Michael Penix, and for this year, almost $5 million on Taylor Heinicke. For a team that has still the same questions going into the draft, coming out of the draft at edge, safety, and corner. Allocation of funds is always going to be something that will drive you nuts. And if you start thinking about having the cheap quarterback, the beauty of having Michael Penix on a rookie quarterback is this is going to allow us, if he's good, to go out and overspend in a lot of areas, except the Falcons can't take advantage of that one yet. Take a listen to Robert Mays with Nate Tyson, Dane Brugler. This was a part of the Athletic Football Show talking about the Falcons' quarterback investment.
The 8th overall pick last year was Bijan Robinson. Year 3 of Bijan Robinson's rookie deal is going to have a $6 million cap hit. Kirk Cousins has $25 million of dead money into the third year of his deal. So let's say they move on after 2 years. You still have it's going to be $30 million worth of quarterback play in the first cheap year you have with Michael Penix. So you're not going to have a cheap rookie contract quarterback or the ability to wield that contract until year 4 when he is 27 years old.
The hell? Now, the Falcons can break up the $25 million. They can do a post-June 1 where it's 12.5. But it's still not taking advantage of what the beauty of the rookie quarterback is. That Michael Penix makes 5, that let's say they do a post-June 1 and Kirk is 12.5, that's nearly $18 million in your cheap rookie quarterback.
Thankfully,
the salary cap's exploding, but it still doesn't make it okay.
No. The Eagles did it with Jalen. Dolphins did it with Tua.
Texans are doing it now with CJ.
Yeah, the OG in this was Russell Wilson, and that was a third-round pick. And they realized what they had. And remember, they just signed Matt Flynn, the big expensive starter, and they like, yeah, this guy's better. He plays. Which, when he says, Kirk Cousins is our quarterback right now, here's the truth. In football, the better guy's going to play. And if he's a quarterback, it is almost impossible to send somebody out there that you know you got a better option. So whatever, that'll work yourself out. But the Seahawks were able to do it with Russell is the point. The Falcons have eliminated their chance of being able to do this to any major degree.
Couple of things. Go look at the Texans who just made the move for Stephon Diggs to add to Tank Dell and add that group of young pieces. Because CJ's so cheap, they can do whatever they need to do. They can overpay, didn't they? Yeah, did they get Daniil Hunter too? Right. They can overpay in a lot of areas because you're willingly admitting our quarterback's cheap. Chicago's going to be the next one. Chicago made the move for, was it Keenan Allen in the offseason, to add to DJ Moore, and they drafted Roma Dunze. And they have Cole Kmet, and they signed DeAndre Swift as well. They're going to be the next. You have the advantage. The only advantage in the NFL cap is I have a rookie. If we think he's good, we can do all this other stuff. The Falcons won't gain that.
Nope.
Now, they might win more games than they won a year ago, and that's awesome. That's great. That's wonderful. But what are you reaching for? They'll lie to you and say we're trying to win a Super Bowl this year. They're not acting like it.
I said when they signed Kirk Cousins, it was an opportunity to say, you know, let's put him on the table. Yep. Excuse me. All right, we're all in. They didn't do that, man.
Oh, they're hedging.
I thought that it was the beginning, like it was the 70%, 73% step to taking a shot at being great. All right, let's see that final 27%. No, I think that honestly now I'm looking back at it, and I think 6 weeks ago that was them getting satisfied with getting better.
Agreed.
That's all that we got better, and they did get better with Kirk Cousins.
That's
and
fine.
I think for them that was enough.
But I would
Joy Taylor, I apologize.
She was right.
I take it back, Joy Taylor.
I would love to know what the pitch was to Kirk after legal tampering began to his agent, because they only talked to his agent and talked to him. And that happened for like 90 minutes before they signed him. But that was after legal tampering. I wonder what the pitch was, because nowhere in the pitch did it include, we are drafting your replacement. They might have said there might be a middle-round quarterback to bring along, but this probably was not part of it. Now, you're allowed to pivot and change your mind. The Falcons are not wrong for doing any of that. You can change the plan anytime you want. But I feel like this plan has two things that aren't good. It feels like a fear-based plan, and it feels like a reactionary plan. And it feels like they're also nervous they're going to get punched in the face by the NFL with the draft pick next year. We might not have a first next year, so this way we guarantee we get a quarterback before we're back in play again in 2 years to get one.
Playing in my face right now, and I don't appreciate it.
And that's the fear of not being able to go get one for another couple of years, and they weren't going to let that happen.
They were playing in Joy's face. I was so wrong.
Don't play in my face.
Joy's right. Sorry, Joy. Miss Taylor, if you're nasty. All right, coming up, a wealthy, famous guy just got an award. A major award. And the justification is monumental. King Statue explains next. Chuck and Chernoff are on the fan on this post-draft Monday. We still have not gotten to every grade of every player in the draft. We will, building up to it. We're with you till 6. You'll get 680 Rewind on the fan at that point on FM at 93.7, AM at 680, and of course, on our 680 The Fan mobile app. Now, you're going to want to have that app tonight when you crawl into bed. Put that earbud in, your wife's scrolling Facebook or Instagram, and you've got Ben Ingram.
TikTok watch, he still can.
It's going to go away.
Down the hall.
Yeah. Anyway, but you're going to have Ben Ingram in your ear. And I'm not saying you'll fall asleep to Ben, but like the great sound of Ben Ingram while you're dozing off on a Monday night where the Braves are playing West Coast baseball in Seattle.
I think he's going to fall asleep to Ben.
I was trying to figure out the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Tried my best. before we talk about a wealthy, famous guy who just got an award, Marcell Ozuna needs two big nights to put his name in the record book. Are you up for this?
I saw he passed Murph and a couple others for most RBIs in April.
So the all-time record for RBI before the end of April belongs to Cody Bellinger, who has 37.
Oh, he passed the Braves record then. Okay.
This is 2019. This is the all-time record. This is the all-time list of guys by the end of April. So Marcell's got 31 RBI. He would need a slam tonight. He would need like a 4 RBI night tomorrow to break the all-time record. The list, though, was really entertaining. So after Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, how many did Bellinger have?
37 in the month of April in 2019.
Nation.
He played 30 games. To give you some context, Marcell's only played 26. Juan Gonzalez had 36 RBIs.
He had 100 RBIs before the All-Star break that year.
This is 1998.
Yep.
Mark McGwire had 36 RBIs in 1998. You're seeing a theme here. Tino Martinez had 34 RBIs in 1997. I feel like that whole era is just like, how do we know anything? A-Rod had 34 RBIs in 2007. Christian Yelich also had 34 in 2019. Then you get Vinny Castilla, who did it in 1998 with 33 RBIs.
He was at the Astros-Rockies game this weekend.
Jose Abreu had 32 in 2014. Barry Bonds had 32 in 1996.
Royd, clear, cream.
Josh Hamilton had 32 in 2008. Albert Pujols had 32 in 2006. And Joe Carter had 31, tied with Marcell. He did it in 1994. That's the kind of company, though, Marcell's month is. Silly. Just silly, top to bottom. You'll hear it tonight coming up on The Fan. So who's the wealthy, famous guy who just got an award?
That'd be Reggie Bush, and we all saw this about a week ago. The Heisman Trust announced he was going to get his award back, that they had said, we had monitored the monumental changes, and honestly, just the black and white changes to the rule book. Since their 2014 decision, they took away the 05 trophy. I've said for years, it always struck me as odd that he never took any money. He never got paid, didn't do anything to attend USC. He took something to leave USC. And then that was the justification. The running backs coach got whacked and 30 scholarships and all, just, and Reggie Bush out of the record books, disassociation, can't go on campus. So not only is he getting his record book, his records and his Heisman and everything else, and he can associate with the program, which that ended in 2020, and going to get his number retired now. He has also announced now that he is not dropping his lawsuit against the NCAA for defamation as well, because of the way they characterized the rules infractions, specifically labeling him a cheater when he said, there has never been anyone that alleged I cheated while I was at USC. So that the lawsuit will continue. But the justification for returning the Heisman, hey, way different rules now, so we decided no harm, no foul. Now, Reggie Bush, he's got a blessed life, and he earned it, and he worked hard, and he's got the Wendy's commercial, so he's got money coming in. But I have some questions. If we're saying way different rules now, we decided it's okay, can my team have the 1993 national title?
You want it?
Because we went undefeated. Nobody else did. We did it in the Southeastern Conference. Do we go back, Matt, and assign not only some wins, but do we assign some opponents to Southern Methodist in 1987 and 88?
Sounds exhausting.
Thank you, but the rules are different now, and they gave Eric Dickerson a Trans Am and so didn't get to play for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, well, the rule, you could get Trans Am. Do you remember Spence Rattler at OU? He had a, I want to say he had a Challenger, and I mean like a full-on Hemi. He had a Challenger and also a Dodge pickup truck. He got two cars. Bijan at Texas, remember the Lambo?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine offering Bijan a Trans Am today. That's what got SMU, at least part of it, and the governor got involved and all that. But basically, if we're going to say the justification for the downtown athletic club as well, the rules have changed now. All right, to rewrite its history, because that's what they're doing. 2005, vacated. They went back, erased it. Reggie Bush, USC. If you're doing that with the award, do that with some other stuff too, because the rules have changed. Todd Gurley suspended, what was it, $3,000 sitting in the back of a Caprice? Mm-hmm. $3,000.
You want him pardoned?
Imagine All-American running back being offered. He wouldn't walk across the street for $3,000 today.
But didn't we live in a better time when you had to work to cheat? Like you had
when
to...
you needed bagmen?
Yes, the bagman was a thing.
I'm going to finally say it on. I asked Rusty Mansell one time. I was like, somebody told me you were the bagman. He laughed about it. He says, I get told that about once a month.
What's he doing now?
Well, he's doing what he always does. He wasn't the back. Wait a minute. The way you asked that.
I haven't heard from Rusty.
What's he doing now that name, image, likeness has taken? He was awful.
He used to be on with us, and then he just disappeared.
I know.
Very impressive.
Stop. Yeah. I know. He laughed about it. He said, I hear that about once a month.
I used to like to go to dinner with him. He liked steak.
Nice.
Why?
Anyway, so do you want some official news on the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight?
Is this news or...
What else do I give you? I sit here and I'm in a news chair. I'm a journalist.
Oh, you're right. You do give me hard news.
Journalist. The bout is now officially sanctioned as a professional fight.
This will go on Tyson's record?
The result will be recorded as an official record. Knockouts are permitted, thank God, because what else would be?
So no headgear.
The fight will consist of 8 2-minute rounds. I told you this thing was going to be 2 minutes.
You can negotiate anything you want, folks.
Fighters will wear 14-ounce gloves.
That's, and the size of the ring as well.
And no headgear will be used. So try to figure out. I've heard so many people like, Tyson's going to kill him, or Mike's too old. I have no clue. How would you handicap this train wreck? This is going to be...
Size of the ring will also be something they argue about. Or
once they get to about the third round, you are going to have two guys... I almost said dancing. There will be no dancing. You will have two guys sludging around the ring, throwing some stuff here and there. They will both be gassed by the time we get to the fourth round. Nobody will knock each other out, and you will be so upset that you spent your time. You're paying for Netflix. You already got it. But you will be, and I'm going to watch. I'm going to be with you guys. But I'm going to, at the end of it, go, God, what a disaster I just watched.
When it's one professional cruiserweight versus another professional cruiserweight, they can go 12 three-minute rounds, and they're tired AF at the end, but they did it. Y'all ever seen, like, two regular people fight? Because this is one kind of regular person and then an old kind of regular person who has a lot of boxing experience. Like, stuff from Roadhouse, that's not real. If you've ever seen real people in a fight, mm-hmm. it's over after about 12 seconds, and either one guy's you're leaning on each other or you're laying on the ground, or one guy's saying, are you done? How like, about, it, fights don't last,
how
man.
How about this? Just go shadow box in your living room for 3 minutes straight and tell me what that
is. No.
It's a very different scenario. Congratulations to Matthew Thomas Ryan, the newest member of the CBS NFL Today show.
Congratulations.
Matt kicked Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason out.
That happened.
So I don't know what Matt's getting paid, but he took two salaries.
They're not going to be back.
That was the news that was announced today, that Boomer and Phil are out. Matt Ryan will join JB, Nate Burleson, Bill Cowher, and some version of J.J. Watt on the Inside the NFL, or excuse me, on the NFL Today on CBS.
Still too many people.
It is way too many. It's ridiculous. I mean, you don't need that much. Like, and I'll add this, that CBS show is still as milquetoast and boring as possible. All pregame shows are.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be.
I think Burleson's pretty good. After that, Bill Cowher. I mean, all of it. Oof. Boomer went on WFAN this morning and announced he had signed an extension there, but he was also after 22 years. 22 years leaving the CBS pregame. Simms has got to have been there 3-4 years longer than him because he did the games and then moved into the studio. That's a heck of a run, so we'll see if Matt enjoys the NFL pregame life. It's a pretty good deal. He doesn't have to travel to a site of a game. He has to go to New York. Flies in, I'm going to guess, for a rehearsal at a meeting on Friday, maybe Saturday probably, and then he does the show Sunday. He's gone Sunday night back home.
This is the version of when I was growing up, like my age. I first started watching like national like broadcast the NFL, and a guy named Hank Stram. If you don't know him, he's worth you Wikipedian. He was the color analyst on whatever NFL game. And then Hank Stram was old and they replaced him. And you're like, that's who Boomer is now. That's who Phil Simms has grown into. Those are the old guys that got like, there's a ninth grader right now who all they know are these are these two old guys who were on for a few years when I was a kid.
Oh, they have no idea if Phil played for the Giants or Boomer played for the Bengals. And they don't know that Hank Stram wore a really bad toupee.
65 power toss trap.
He wore the toupee just all the way to the end too. He's gone, isn't he?
Oh, he's been gone okay, long.
I didn't want to kill him.
Condolences to the family.
But it was like so poorly produced.
Domino might have had.
We had Hank.
No, I didn't say I have something to do with it.
No, not at all.
So we had talked to him.
We had Hank on at the Super Bowl in '98 when we were at the other station. Okay. And in the middle of the interview, he looked to me to ask what happened during a Super Bowl that I wasn't alive for. And I just shrugged my shoulders like, I don't know, Mr. Stram, you're on your own. I was like 20 years old. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. All I know is they told me to go get you on. I don't even know who you are. So young and dumb.
It's the beauty. What up with the rug, though?
That's nice. I wanted to fix it for him. Just want to kind of take care of that muskrat. All right, coming up, the Braves' three sleepiest bats might have awoken yesterday. Plus, one Falcon draft pick is going to cause some problems for a lot of folks in the Atlanta media.
Living the ATL dream.
We'll talk about him next.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.